Welcome to the podcast, guys. I hope you're having a great Monday. We're talking about ways that you can pray for your pastor. So hopefully your pastor is fresh on your mind from being in church yesterday and seeing him and listening to him. And maybe you're thinking about, how can I be praying for my pastor? Well, I have a pastor's son with us today. This is Drew Brewer. He's been helping us with some ideas on how we can pray for our pastor. And the final thought, Drew, what's one last thing that we can be praying for our pastor?
I think this one applies more than the others, even to the family as well, the pastor's family.
Okay.
Is this idea of praying for their passion in ministry, especially over long periods of time, that can wane and we can get, it becomes drudgery. And I think oftentimes more than anybody, the pastor's family is tempted to become disengaged, less excited, less passionate about ministry. And I can even think anecdotally growing up, it's like the church is a competitor for my father's attention.
Mm-hmm.
And you fall into that.
Yeah.
There's always somebody that needs premarital counseling or that's getting married or there's funerals to be preached.
Right.
Or, you know, there's events to be attended.
Right.
And this idea that that's detrimental when the pastor and especially his family lose that excitement about what they're doing. And in Philippians 2, which we quoted last week, but Paul says in 17:18, even if I'm being poured out as a drink offering up on the sacrificial offering of your faith, I'm glad and I rejoice with you all. So this idea, and Paul's the perfect example of this, and pastors are to be poured out, to be emptied, emptying themselves, but it's on behalf of the faith of their congregation.
Yeah.
He says, I'm being a sacrificial offering of your faith, and I'm glad about it.
Mm.
And that's hard because we want to put ourselves first.
Yeah.
And so we have to die to ourselves and have this idea of, I'm glad that I have the opportunity to empty myself on your behalf. And the family keeping that in mind as well. I'm glad that my dad gets to invest in this church because it's an honor and a privilege.
Yeah.
Even though it can be seen as an inconvenience. And these people that are often ungrateful and sinful and hurtful, like, they're the reason we're doing this for their souls and their sanctification.
Yeah. Yeah.
1 Corinthians 15 is a great reminder, 58. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain.
Yeah.
It's not in vain that you prepare a sermon every week and half the people sleep through it. It's not in vain that you sing these songs and they don't like them and they just stare at you while you're singing them.
Yeah, right.
Nothing is in vain.
Yeah.
The word of the Lord never returns void, Isaiah 55. It's another great reminder for pastors that if you're faithful to the word, what you're doing matters.
Yeah. Yeah, it has impact. So let me ask you this, Drew. I'm sure there were times, how old are you?
27.
27. So I'm sure that there are times growing up, pastors, how long has Tim been at Guy?
He's coming up on his 26th year.
Awesome.
So my entire life.
Yeah,
basically.
You've been there. That's incredible. That's incredible. So I'm sure growing up, there were times where you were like, he's got to go do this again or whatever. Can you pinpoint a time or a season where it kind of clicked for you to where like all of that became reality? Like you were like, no, he's my hero because of this.
I don't know that I would say it clicked because you never perfectly understand it. But when I started kind of doing a little bit of it myself, serving in ministry, even prior to being on staff, serving in roles within the church and understanding, okay, like, this is a universal struggle. It's not unique to him in this church. You know, you talk to pastors all the time and pastors' kids all the time who, you know, they throw around the term church hurt or whatever.
Yeah,
and I hate that because it's just people hurt. It's
yeah,
not church
yeah,
hurt.
Yeah.
People hurt people.
Yeah, yeah.
And hurt people hurt people. But this idea of it's worth it, and you have to remind yourself that from the Word of God.
Right.
Because if you just look at it at face value, it's not worth it.
Right.
It's time, it's energy, it's your life that you're handing over to these people.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they don't care.
Right.
And we've been blessed. I've been blessed for our church that they love us so well.
Yeah.
And I know that's not the case for everybody.
Right.
But I go back to that Isaiah 55 passage often. I think it's verse 11. He says, my word going out will accomplish what I have told it to.
Yeah.
And so if you're faithful to that, everything else will fall in line.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. So we have a former Mount Olive member at our church in Hope in Sydney, Sydney Vine. She grew up there. I've been at Garrett for 20 years, and I can echo probably with you and with Tim and saying what a blessing. Because I've heard war stories. You know, you've heard the war stories, and that has not been the case. And I pray it's not the case in the future. Yeah. I would love to be at Garrett for 26 years and longer. And what a blessing it has been for my kids to grow up with the same people they're seeing every Sunday,
yes.
loving them, and just consistency there. But I think you can. The temptation is just to kind of grind, and the passion can wane, or it's just familiar.
It becomes just mundane.
Mundane routine. This is just what we do. And so there does have to be this, you want to put as much fodder around it as possible and just let God just stoke the flames of it. And so, that's great. So be praying for your pastor and be praying for your pastor's family. I oftentimes think about, you know, when I got married, my wife, Christy, knew she was marrying a pastor, right?
It's good she knows what
she
was signing
knew
up
what
for.
She knew what she was getting into, but your kids don't. Like, they're born into it, and so it's not like they have the choice, right? They're just, that's just who they are.
Yeah.
And so oftentimes think about that and pray about that for my own kids.
You want your kids to love ministry like you do.
Absolutely.
And that's hard because sometimes you see your church members doing things, and you're like, you're going to make my kid not like ministry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that goes back to, I think it was last week's, the peace amongst one another.
Right.
The unity. That's what will make them love the church, those relationships.
Yeah, yeah. And to have the sense of, I've got to have this. Like, I want, whenever our kids leave the house, if they leave our area, I don't want to have to tell them the priority needs to be to find a church. I want them to be like, I've got to find a church. You know,
it's a given. It's not even a question.
Yes. Yeah. And I want them to find a church like Garrett, right? Like, I want them to find people like we have at Garrett. I just want that for them. I think it's been so beneficial. So, all right, guys. So Drew has done you a great service in giving you all of these P words. All right. So pray for your pastor's perseverance. Pray for your pastor's preaching, that it be sound and that it be clear. Pray for your pastor's purity. Pray for the peace in your pastor's heart, but peace in the church. And also pray for your pastor and his family, their passion for the gospel and gospel ministry within the church. So you have been greatly helped this month on how you can support and get up underneath and encourage and hold up your pastor. And so I pray that you take action on these things. Thanks a lot, Drew.